And it is called For Unto Us a Child is Born, and it is messages based on Handel's Messiah. And originally, this Advent Christmas, we were going to do sermons based on A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, and then I found out that the choir was planning to sing Messiah during the season, and I'm like, well, we have to preach on Messiah then, because Handel's Messiah is all Scripture. It is just Scripture connected to Scripture, connected to Scripture, connected to Scripture. And so the first three songs, you heard the first two just moments ago, the first three songs are based on Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 5. And so I invite you to pick up the Bible that's with you or one that is near you in the pew. And Isaiah will be found in the middle of a paper Bible. Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 5. If you find Psalms, just keep flipping a few pages, and you'll get to Isaiah. Say it one more time, Janine. 816. 816 in the Red Pew Bible. Thanks, Janine. You're always so helpful with that. And so where we are in the book of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah is an incredibly long book of prophecies by Isaiah, and he is speaking, especially in the first 39 chapters. God is just speaking through him all of this reality for the consequence of sin, and they're really kind of heavy chapters, the first 39 chapters, and things shift around chapter 40, and so that's where we're coming. And so what Isaiah is doing is looking past the situation that's kind of in front of him, which is going to be that the people of God are going to be taken into exile. And he's looking kind of past that to the return of the people of God from exile, and even past that down the highway of time to the coming of Jesus the Messiah, and past that to the second coming of Christ and the complete victory of God. And so hear with me, Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 5. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the Lord, the glory of the Lord, shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So earlier, we shared with one another how we were preparing for Christmas. And so does anybody have something they'd like to shout out to the whole room, a way that you're preparing for Christmas this year?
Well, if you're in the choir or the praise band, you get to do all the music.
Preparing by singing all the music of Christmas, yeah, that's always fun. Maybe you've switched your radio to one of those radio stations that's already playing Christmas music. Sure. Okay. And so Renee says that she's reading the devotional, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. And Ian?
Buying baby toys.
Buying baby toys for that new grandbaby. That's right. That's right. Somebody asked me today if we had grandbabies coming, and I said, all bets are off once there's grandbabies coming. There are no grandbabies coming. Hear me very clearly. Hear me very clearly. But we do all sorts of things, right? We change the music we listen to. We go and buy gifts. We decorate. We cook special foods, all of those things. Steve Garness Holmes put it this way. He said, we prepare outwardly for Christmas. We hang lights and put up decorations. We bake goodies. We wrap gifts. How will you prepare inwardly? The coming of Christ means that God will be incarnate embodied, lovingly present in the flesh of your life. I love that. Incarnate, lovingly present in the flesh of your life. One of our favorite carols that we sing this time of year is Joy to the World. And a line from it is, let every heart prepare him room. Right? There was no room in the inn, but there can be room in our heart. When Handel was preparing the Messiah, it first started off in Dublin. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. And then it moved to London, where Handel was living. And, you know, that was like, you know, Dublin was kind of like the out-of-town preview, and then London is like the big leagues, like Broadway, except, of course, it was London. And one of the lords who lived in London, his name was Lord Kinnoull, congratulated Handel on the excellent entertainment. And Handel replied by saying this, my lord, I should be sorry if I only entertain them. I wish to make them better. And so to get that glimpse of Handel's desire that the music of Messiah, that setting the scripture to music, would bring a change in us, would bring transformation in us. And that's exactly what it means when we talk about prepare the way of the Lord. It's about transformation. And so the first way to prepare the way of the Lord is prepare your way in me. Prepare your way in me. And Renee mentioned that in your newsletter this month and available today is the devotion for our Advent and Christmas season. And like Handel, I hope that it will do you good. I hope that it will help prepare you for the coming of Jesus. And so one of the ways that we prepare is by setting aside regular time with God during the hustle and bustle of the season. And one of those things that we can do is we can have some quiet time and we can ask ourselves reflection questions. And so I provide you two reflection questions today, two classic questions. This past week, when did I feel closest to God? This past week, when did I feel closest to God? This is classically called a question of consolation, a question of comfort. It's when we are able to experience the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the inbreaking of God into our life, and all of a sudden we're awake and we're alive and we notice it. And so, when did you experience the presence of God? When did you feel closest to God this past week? If you look back at the scripture, it says, comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her. And so this idea of God speaking comfort, of God speaking tenderness, literally speaking to the heart. This is the voice of God, which is the voice of love. This is the voice of God, which is the voice of assurance. Have you ever been going through something difficult and all of a sudden you hear a voice of assurance from God? And it breaks through. It breaks through the confusion and the pain and the that you're going through. So yes, that's exactly. God is whispering words like a lover whispering sweet things into the loved one's ears. It's that intimate. It's that personal. It's that close. And so God is whispering words in your ears, and they are not sweet nothings. They are designed to remind you of what is good. They are to strengthen you. They are to help you. They are to remind you how much you are loved. And so the other question that goes along with this self-reflection time, you know, prepare your way in me, is when did I feel farthest from God? Right? And so, which is easier for you to answer? Oh, this is when I felt closest. Maybe that's the easier one to answer. Or maybe it's this one. When did I feel farthest from God? You know? Yep, I know when I blew it this past week. You know, so many of us, we connect quicker and easier to the negative stuff. I blew it. But we need both. We need the comfort and the consolation, and we need the reminder and the quickening of, yeah, I blew it, so that things can be different, so that things can be different. And so this is when we feel the sorrow or the pain or the guilt. And it is not to get us off track. It is the Spirit calling us back onto track. And so look again at verse 2. It says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her. And there are three things that have happened. That she has served her term. Okay? So you've been in prison long enough. You've been in chains long enough. That's over with. That her penalty is paid, again, long enough, done enough, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That I read that line and I went, ooh, like, is that about God punishing? No. It is actually God giving us double grace for our sin. That we sin, and what does God do? God gives grace and more grace and more grace as we turn and we say, I blew it. I walked away. I let that horrible thing fly out of my mouth over Thanksgiving dinner. I was selfish in the store. Whatever it was. Grace greater than all our sin. That's what the double means. And so, look at verse 3 with me. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. That all includes you. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And so, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. The wilderness of your soul, in the wilderness of this world, prepare the way of the Lord. Jan Richardson says this. She says, the wilderness does not merely give us a path. It empties us enough so that a path is made within us, through us, and of us. Within us, through us, and of us. A road for the holy to enter the world, a way for Christ who comes. And so this preparing the way of the Lord is not just prepare your way in me, it's prepare your way of me, through me. It's both. It's internal, which then becomes external. And so this comfort, oh comfort my people, is not that we're just going to be comfortable, right? We're just going to be, yeah, no problems, no worries. I'm just going to not pay attention to all the trouble in the world. La, 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 la. No. The comforting is the strengthening and the encouraging that we are prepared in order to share with others. That there is an expectation that in this time of deep prayer with God, that it will lead to action. Look, the passage is full of God commanding. You know, verse 1, comfort, comfort my people. In some translations, it's got a big old exclamation point after it. This will happen. Make sure this happens. Right? Speak. Cry out. Cry out to the folks who are in chains. Cry out to the folks who are exiles. Cry out. Verse 3, cry out in the wilderness. Cry out in those lonely places, those harsh places, those broken places, those unjust places. Cry out. And then at the very end in verse 5, the mouth of the Lord has spoken this. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. And I'm going to prepare you so that you can be part of the way making. Prepare the way. Isaiah was preparing the way. Down the road, you have John the Baptist who uses Isaiah's words, prepare the way of the Lord. Down the road, it is us preparing the way of the Lord. It is us. And so, my friends, I invite you to enjoy the season and to feel it fully and to be fully present, but to go deep this season. I invite you to spend some time with God in preparing, you know, God, prepare the way in me so that God can prepare the way through you. The scriptures are about this preparing the way of the Lord, about making the way, this way of mending the world. And so it is God breaking in to all of the systems and all of the places and all of the pain, breaking in to create something new. It is about the mountains where things are too high and out of reach, that they are brought low. It is about the valleys where things are so dark and in need that they are brought up so that there is a plain, an evenness, an equity, a justice for all. The Messiah premiered in Dublin in 1742, and it was done to raise money for charity, three charities, in fact, for debt relief for those who had been thrown in prison because they couldn't pay their bills, for Mercer Hospital, and for the charitable infirmary. There were fewer safety nets back in the 1700s, and so charity was the way. They raised £400 back in the 1700s, which was a giant amount of money, and they split it three ways. And I love the fact that 142 persons were freed from debtors' jail because of the money raised at that charitable Messiah performance. 142 people whose lives were instantly transformed. How is God using you for transforming in powerful works this holy season? For making the way where there seems to be no way? For bearing the light into the world? Would you join me in prayer? The time is now, for you have called. The place is now, for you have spoken. Yes, it is a wilderness, a desert even, so dry, so rough, so uneven. Yes, the gap is so very wide between the high and the low. But you have called, O God, you have spoken. Not an if or a when or a maybe, not even a try. You have spoken shall. Every valley shall be lifted. Every mountain shall be made low. The uneven shall be made level. The rough shall be made smooth. It shall be done in us and through us and of us. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we will persevere in this wilderness of preparing. We will not forge a path or blaze a trail, but make a highway for your coming. For your glory, O God, shall be revealed in this place, and all shall see it. all shall see it together. And all God's people said, mm-hmm.